Dear people, will you please open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. First Corinthians chapter 11. I'll pick up the section where Paul is telling the brethren, reminding them of the Lord's Supper and what it's all about. That would be in verse 23 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Beginning at verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and to drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are sick, weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judge ourselves rightly, we will not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned along with the world." Let us once again seek our God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, as we come in obedience to you, O Lord, your God, looking to your word, but knowing, our Father, that we cannot even understand this word unless you by your Spirit open it up to our hearts. This is not anything new to us. We have read through this. But, Father, we plead to you that fresh grace will be given even as we look to it again. So we ask now as we look, the Lord, bless the preaching of your word, but bless it to each and every one of our hearts. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Now, this Sunday is not something odd to us. This Sunday is something that we do every month. As we come to this, we're looking at a time where we would now have as displayed before us the Lord's Supper. We don't do this as some rite that we want to do over and over again, but there's a reason for it, that we will be brought closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, understanding more and more what he has done for us. He tells us to do this in remembrance of him. And we don't want to do it because it's the first Sunday of the month and that's it. And come and said we had the bread and the wine today. But we want to do it as it is represented here by the Apostle Paul and what Jesus himself said in the upper room. Our Lord Jesus Christ made it clear that the church must place a special significance upon his death by the institution of the Lord's Supper. We have a clear picture of the importance of the communion by the method Jesus used in his first communion at the end of the Passover celebration. It was very clear that he was making a change to what Israel was going through by God under the Old Testament celebration of the deliverance of the Jews out of Egypt. Now, Christ was incorporating a new redemption. The redemption of the salvation of all those who would be saved by his death. The church has been instructed to maintain this new covenant Passover, redemption by a perpetual act that focuses upon the death of Jesus Christ. We are well aware of the gathering of the Lord and his apostles when he instituted the first communion. It is clearly recorded for us in the Gospels. Matthew 26, verses 26 to 29. Mark 14, verses 22 to 25. Luke 22, verses 14 to 20. But here in our text, we have the Apostle Paul as he has given it to us. We have the clear teaching of what the Lord's Supper means and the way it must be celebrated by the church. It is from this passage in 1 Corinthians that we have the biblical explanation of the communion and what it's all about. As we prepare our hearts to come for the celebration of the Lord's Supper, I want to direct your attention to the main points mentioned by Paul in this passage. First of all, he said, we have the teaching of the Lord's Supper was given to Paul by Jesus Christ. Secondly, the importance of the elements, that is the bread and the cup. And then we have the message of the Lord's Supper. First of all, the teaching of the Lord's Supper was given by Paul, by Jesus, to Paul, by Jesus. And firstly, we find that in verse 23. Notice what Paul says here. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is given for me. And then he goes and he says this, we say, for I receive from the Lord that which I also deliver to you. Paul says he received it. I also delivered it. Paul is saying he did not receive it from the other apostles. He did not receive it from the churches or any other human agent. He is speaking clearly, or making it clear, that it was a direct revelation from Jesus Christ himself to the apostle Paul. He says he received it from Jesus. Paul was an important apostle of the church. He was chosen by Jesus Christ, just as the 12 was chosen by as the foundation of the church, the 12 apostles. But it was a different time, and we know the history of Paul. It was Paul who was the one that was raising threatenings against the church. And Jesus met him on the road to Damascus. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It was on the road to Damascus that the Lord Jesus broke into Paul's life and changed him forever. The following events included Jesus told Ananias that Paul was. Here's what he said when Paul was blinded and he went into the city. He says, Paul is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the sons of Israel. Acts 9 and 15. Christ spoke to Paul on many occasions when he was in Corinth. In Acts chapter 18 and 9. In turn, do not be afraid. And I can put in there, Paul, any longer. But go on speaking and do not be silent. For I am with you. When he was brought before the council and great uproar occurred, Jesus appeared to him after that particular event, says, take courage, for as you have solemnly witnessed to my name caused at Jerusalem, so you must also witness in Rome. Acts 23:11. Paul gave the Corinthians what Jesus gave him. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. Paul is saying it was Jesus Christ himself that spoke to him. By way of application, Paul is saying that the very words that Jesus spoke to the disciples at the event of the communion, he spoke to him also. Remember those words. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Paul said those were Jesus' words. Jesus was the one who mentioned, brethren, we must see and understand what Paul is saying here. Paul said this was given to him for a purpose and a reason. Therefore, we must receive it as spoken to us also. When we read this text, when we come to this very commitment, we should say now, Jesus Christ, though I read the words in the pages of Scripture, he is speaking to us right now. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And if we come to that, we understand more and more what Christ is saying and how we should be when we come to the Lord's Supper. As I mentioned in the beginning, this is not something we do because the first Sunday roll around. We come into the sense of knowing right now we are communing with Christ. And dear people, yes, Jesus tells us he's going away, but he will come back again. But he also tells us that he will be in us and with us. If he's saying to us, this is my body, which is for you, do this in remembrance of me. If he's in each and every one of us, he knows how we are receiving his supper. Are we receiving it glibly? Oh, just a matter of fact, going through it, something that's on a calendar? Or are we receiving it as a communion? And what that actually means, in communion with Christ himself. Now attached to him in a special way. And this is what is saying, brethren, we must not consider the direction of the Lord's Supper as passed on to us by Paul. We must receive them as the words of Jesus Christ, spoken directly to us every time we come to this event. Therefore, we must say in our hearts, Jesus is speaking to me right now. In these very words, what he says, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And each one of us should have those words in our hearts and say, Jesus is saying, it's for me right now. There's a purpose in it. And Lord Jesus, I want you to let me to know what is that very purpose in me taking these elements right now. Second thing, we must see the importance of the elements themselves. Bread and a cup. Notice what it says, verse 24, and he, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup, also after supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The importance of the elements, the bread and the cup. The giving of thanks is an acknowledgement of God's mercy and blessing of what will be done by the giving of his life for his people. Jesus, at that particular time when he gave thanks, he knew what it meant as these elements, bread and cup, as it goes on to my disciples at this time, but it means much more than that. It is something that is happening. And Jesus could say, thank you for it, because he knows everything that is going to happen for the glory of his name and for the good of his people will take place at his death. In these words, Jesus' heart was attached to his upcoming death for his people. He looked down to each and every one, those 12 in the room and those outside of that room who would be brought into the kingdom through his own life. And even all the way down to right now, dear brother, this day, you and me sitting here, Jesus gave thanks. Because he saw all of us who we are and what was going to take place when he went to the cross and died for us. These words of Jesus' heart was attached to his death, and he knew that. But then he looks at each element and he gives a meaning to each one. The bread, he says, this is my body, which is for you. The bread that I hold in my hand, is what Jesus is saying, is a symbol of my body. Jesus used this body for the symbol of the blessed salvation for his people in other occasions also. He says in John 6 and 34, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. That imagery there, that symbolic message there, I am the bread of life. And so he says, this bread, this is me, my body, which is for you. And the words, "This is my body, which is for you," he was expressing joy and completion of his ministry for the salvation of his people. Imagine Jesus there with his disciples at that time, sitting there, and he's saying, "Use the bread," and he passes on, breaks it. "This is my body." He's telling them, "Look to the cross." They wouldn't understand it at that point because they don't know what's really going to happen. They believe that their Savior would not go through that. But he's reminding them, when it comes to the cross, you will remember, "This is my body." You remember what I did in the upper room and how I expressed thankfulness for the bread. Yes. But you're meaning thankfulness for my death on your behalf. "This is my body, which is for you." But then he said, took up the cup. That's what it told for us in verse 24:5. "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The cup, another symbol that he's given. He says the cup. Now we know he's not talking about the actual implement, the tool itself, the cup. But that was representing what was in the cup. That which was the kind of wine that they would have at the Passover, and it was there. So he meant what the cup represented in the cup was the very thing he was speaking of. Because he said, "This is my blood, which is in the cup." The cup, the shedding of blood, is the means of establishing a new covenant. We know that. The blood of Jesus replaced the Jewish sacrificial system. Under the old system, the blood of the Lamb provided forgiveness and redemption to the Jewish nation. Jesus is saying that now his life blood will be the satisfaction for the sins of all those that he came to die for. And it will be by his death that God would give the Holy Spirit to those he came to save. Oh, remember in Israel, all of them, when they came out. And after that night, and when God struck Egypt with the plagues that came, that final plague, the Hebrews, they went out. The Jewish nation went out with no problem whatsoever. And don't see, Jesus says, "This cup is the new covenant." And we know this is the very thing that was said. The importance of these elements, or this element, also was attached to those who would partake of the elements. They must clearly understand the significance of the blood. We have no blood in a cup. We have a cup that represents the blood. But what is it really representing? Representing the life that would be given. God made a covenant with the Jewish nation, giving them instructions how he would deliver them. Exodus 12:7. "They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat of it." And in Exodus 12:12, verse 12, "For I will go through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both male and beast." Verse 13, "The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. And when I see the blood, I will pass over." And so Jesus Christ is saying, "This cup is the blood of the covenant." A new covenant he's speaking of was made with the New Testament saints based upon the death of Jesus Christ. He is our Lamb. At his baptism, John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Indicating that those who he would die for would make up a new chosen people of God. The new covenant. New, the word in this way is used, in comparison to the old, or the former. Better than the old. Covenant here, God's unconditional promise to make Abraham his seed, the recipients of the blessing. Which blessing would be made by the church of Jesus Christ, and eternal life would be given to those who possess faith in Jesus. This is the meaning of the words, this cup is a covenant in my blood. Those who enter into a covenant with the Lord, who live their lives to the glory of Jesus Christ, they no longer live for themselves. This new covenant is also a covenant with one another as an established new community, the church. Brother, I don't know how come people fall off so far from this. God had a special people, not a special individual here, there, and everywhere. A special people, Israel. God now have a special people, his church. We should never see ourselves disconnected from one another. And this is something that he told his church to do in connection to one another. And may that be the thing that you and I see ourselves doing always. But there's a third message here. That is the message of the Lord's Supper itself. We find that in verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The taking of the Lord's Supper by the use of the bread and the cup is an open proclamation of the death of Christ. And we probably can say that in two ways. We're proclaiming it once again to ourselves as we partake, but we proclaim it to each other, dear people. Each of us is saying, when we take the elements, we are proclaiming Christ Jesus and what he did and his death and how important that death is to each and every one of us. The taking of the Lord's Supper by this use, two things are here. There are two aspects to what is actually being proclaimed. It is an open memorial. A communal commemoration of his death and the grace that his people receive by his death. Oh, it's a horrible thing to think that here we do. We take the Lord's Supper and we really, it doesn't have nothing. It was just something to do in the past. And I could die tomorrow and wind up in hell someplace. No! That's not understanding what it is. It is not understanding what it's actually proclaiming, the death itself. A commemoration of his death. We look to his death. We look back to what he did for us in a special way. And the grace that his people received by his death. We are saying not only did Jesus die for us, but he gave us what we need by his grace to live for his glory. So it is a memorial. You know, we have a memorial day. What does it do? It looks back to that particular day. We have other days that we worship and looks back to the present of that day and what it represents. This represents what Christ has done. The death and the grace that his people receive by that death. It is telling us, dear people, but not only that he died, but what he gave to us in his death. You and I, as we come to take the very elements, we should say, God is saying now, when I take the bread, or especially when I take this cup, I'm saying it represents the life that was poured out for me. It represents who I am right now. And it is a memorial of what has taken place. My life changed when Christ saved me. I had read about this stuff. Probably it would be in my unconverted days, we can say. And I knew it. But when I was converted, that made a big difference. Now it's a memorial to me. I can commemorate the Lord's death because it has a great meaning to me. It means that I will live. And I will live forever. Nothing's going to take this life from me. Oh, dear people, it's not just something we go through. Some have done a horrible thing. They moved the Lord's table, the supper of remembrance, down to a lower state. Something that they just go through. They're not even hooked onto it and thinking about what is being done. They're just doing something else. And at that particular time, the elements come by and they go by and there's nothing to it. But Paul says here, it is a proclamation. And the first one, it is an open memorial. It is a commemoration of his death and the grace that his people receive by his death. But also, it is an act of anticipation. It's an act of anticipation. When we take the Lord's Supper, as we do that we now, there is an anticipation in our hearts and mind. The Lord's Supper proclaims the start of salvation and awaits the return of Jesus Christ. Up in that upper room, when they did that, they knew this was the start of salvation in a special way. Not that the men weren't already saved, but now he's doing something that which will be commemorated in his church. And he says, this will be this very thing. It is a salvation that is coming. Now they knew and understood something has happened. What else is going to happen? It is faith in expectation of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in the scripture this morning, he's come. He's coming back. Do we live like he's coming back? Jesus tells us we don't know when that's going to take place. It can be quickly. It can be. The skies will open up. First of all, the rumbling of darkness and everything. Open up like a curtain, and the great glorious Jesus Christ might stand over this earth and all will see him. And the question is, what will we do if that should happen? It could be tonight. What would he do? What are we ready for? Or are we playing with Christianity? Are we putting on a show or act for that other person next to us, or someone close to us, or there's some religious ideas have come into our mind and it's stuck to the Christian church, but really what we did, we took out of that all we like, but all the hard parts, we don't do anything about that. That's what many are doing in the church today. Or in churches, I should say. But what we're doing, is there a great anticipation? Who was John? The apostle said, come, Lord Jesus, even now. Can we close our eyes and lay down and sleep tonight and say, oh, Lord Jesus, you can come right now? Or we have to scratch our heads and wonder, you know, I got to get some things right first. If that's the case, you're not taking the Lord's Supper with an anticipation. That would be a glorious thing. I'm not saying I want this to happen, but would it be a glorious thing? We take the cup and boom! Christ comes. Is that with you, baby? Christ comes and all of us are taken up with him. Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah.
Oh, some of the apostles say when he come out, he will find me doing such and such and so and so. I hope when he comes, and all of us should hope when he comes, he will find us. What will we be doing? We could be sitting down in our homes doing not much, but in our hearts and in our spirits, we are looking for the return of Christ. We're saying this world is horrible. These pains, well, they're getting at me. But oh, Christ is coming. And again, like John says, come, Lord Jesus, even now. The Lord's Supper proclaims the start of salvation and awaits the return of Jesus Christ. In that upper room, when he was speaking to those apostles, he's saying here now, I want you to look at this and understand, as you now take this, forget about the old system in Egypt and what was done and what I did for the people of God then, the Jewish people. That's over now. There's a new thing. And that is Christ coming back for his church. You know, people have messed up the Bible. Some of them saying, well, you know what? Christ is going to come back for the Jews again. Set up a temple and all that. I can't find that nowhere in the New Testament, brother. He's coming back for us. Who truly know him. Whom he has truly saved. And he's coming. And that's an anticipation, dear people. You know what anticipation is, don't you? You know what it is to have some day that's going to come where something good is going to happen. You can't wait. I got a granddaughter that's going to be coming up next week. I can't wait till she get here. I'm anticipating her coming. I'm thinking about her travel. I'm hoping it's going to be safe. She's going to get on a plane. She's going to get here safely. I'm looking for that. And there's some other things in life we do. And Jesus says, when we take this, there should be now not only an open memorial of what he did and died for us, but an anticipation where you and I in our souls will be saying, Lord, you're coming back for me.
Amen.
Oh, I'm looking for that day.
Amen.
In the Lord's Supper, Christians remember to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for his sacrifice and his earnestness. Look at for his return. When we have these elements, they remind us that a body was broken. And blood was shed. And he died. But he's now alive. And now, since he died, we don't have to die.
Amen.
Oh yeah, we're going to lay these old bodies down. Maybe young bodies in some cases. We're going to lay them down. But that's not the end of it. We're going to be with Jesus Christ. Be with him forever. So dear people, let us, as we come to the Lord's table, with our hearts filled with joy, first of all, for what our Savior has purchased for us by his death. Can you imagine the children of Israel coming out of Egypt with all that God had done? When Moses led them out, those plagues that he poured out on that country, and they coming out, they weren't coming out sad. They were coming out dancing and happy that the Lord has redeemed them. You and I have been redeemed from sin and wickedness. And we know we have because of the way we live right now. Oh yes, we are not perfect. We say things that we wish we had not said and have to go and plead forgiveness for us. We have thoughts that we don't want. But oh, still what? We look at this. This reminds us, in spite of all that, if we truly belong to him, oh, what a day. He's coming.
Amen.
He's coming for each and every one of us. And so let us be with those who have come to the table and our hearts be filled with joy.
Yes.
Hallelujah. What a Savior. But also, let us live with the great expectation that he is coming back for us. He is coming back. Oh yeah, times are hard. Days seem to be long, especially if you're getting up into the older age and the pain you have, and you say, oh, how long am I going to deal with this pain? But in the midst of all that, he's coming back. He may come back for us, or we may go to him before he comes back, but either way, we're going to be with that Savior.
Amen.
That Savior who loved us so much, he died on our behalf.
Yes.
Let us remember this. Also that when we take the Lord's Supper, we proclaim our covenant relationship with him. We are saying, as I pick up the elements, we are proclaiming, I am connected to Christ Jesus. But another thing too, we are proclaiming as his church, we are connected to one another. You see, Christ didn't have an eternity past. Well, when God said, you know, he knew us all in eternity past, he didn't see us like a scattered group of people, unattached to one another. The God in heaven, when he saw his people, he wanted to save, he saw all of us connected together as one. This is what he is. This is why I will build my church. Not I will build a group of people who will go around and say nice things about me. My church, mind. And communion is something you do in attachment to one another. So there's no such thing as I can take the Lord's Supper, but I don't have to be a member of the church. No such thing. Jesus is showing us, Paul, I should say, is showing us all that Jesus has done. You and I, dear people, as we come to this very time of communion, we ought to bless God for the mercy and the grace that He gave to us. Let us live with the expectation. Let us come to the table and knowing that Christ has saved me. I belong to Him. These are my brother. We are attached to one another. And He's going to come and take us all home. May God bless us as we come. Let us pray. Our blessed God in heaven, we thank You for Your kindness and Your mercy shown. We thank Thee for the truth, O Lord God, of the very nearness of You, the Lord Jesus Christ, in our hearts, for what You have done, dying on the cross on our behalf. And Father, we look to You now and ask You to help us. Help us, O Lord God. You know what we are in these feeble bodies that we are in. You know how even the flesh wars against the spirit. But Father, we pray at this time, help us to push away everything and to be able to set our hearts and our minds over Jesus Christ and Him alone. Let us look at Him as a memorial as we take these elements. Let us look in great anticipation that one day we're going to be with Him. Blessing God, help us in the rest of this sermon. Service in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.